Delaware One, my name is Elijah Davis, Minister of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9th of the 12th Town of Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is June 4, 2016, receiving 29-2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Yahshua is Calling. Yahshua is tenderly calling thee home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Yahshua's calling is tenderly calling today. Yahshua's calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed, he will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua's call is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is waiting, oh come to him now. Waiting today, waiting today. Come with us and at his feet lowly bow. Come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua's calling is tenderly calling today. Yahshua is pleading, no less to his voice. Hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise in the way. Calling today, calling today. Yahshua's calling is tenderly calling today. Kingdom of Heaven, Part 3, we're going to continue on now our study, our series. Our prayer thoughts taken from Matthew 19, and start with verse 1. And it came to pass that when Yahshua had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. But therefore Yahweh hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. His disciples say unto him, If the case of the man be so, with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he said unto them, All men cannot receive this saying, save they unto whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, There are some units which were made units of men, and there be units which have made themselves units for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Yahshua says, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now what does it say there? Yahshua said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is Yahweh the Father. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now isn't this amazing? Yahshua would say himself, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is Yahweh. All right, Matthew 19:18. He saith unto him, which, Yahshua said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Yahshua said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Yahshua unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And Yahshua beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Yahweh all things are possible. That's Matthew 19:26. Remember that. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Yahshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that has forsaken houses, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Okay. That pretty much takes care of Matthew 19. Let's see what else we have here in the way related to unto the kingdom of heaven. It says in Matthew 20, let's go there. That's where parables of the laborers in the vineyard are found. It says, starting with verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Okay, now, the early morning in verse 1, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers of the vineyard. So the early in the morning began with coming out of Egypt with Yahshua and Moses, leading the children of Israel out of the bondage of sin and the prison house of Egypt under the Pharaoh. And that was your early morning labors, the children of Israel with Moses. And in the third hour labors, Yahshua hired the disciples at the cross. They became the third hour laborers, called at the third hour. And Matthew 20, verse 4, and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right I will give you, and they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Yahshua of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Okay. The early morning laborers only labored for 2 hours in the vineyard. 2 parabolic hours. That was Moses and the children of Israel. And now keep in mind that Yahshua was with Moses in that first parabolic hour, that early morning hour. So Yahshua is the householder. And he hired Moses. Yahshua worked with Moses in the first hour. So they were the leaders in the first parabolic hour. It was Yahshua and Moses and Aaron and Miriam, their sister. So there was 4 leaders appointed there, and Yahweh the Father appointed his son Yahshua to come and take the leadership as a householder of the vineyard. So Yahshua then came, he went back to heaven after his work was done in the first hour with Moses. Yahshua went back to heaven. And then he came back at the third hour. He came at the third hour. And he appeared on the Sea of Galilee where he he actually appeared in the temple where he cleansed the temple when he started his ministry at the age of 30 in 27 A.D. And then he went on to the Sea of Galilee and he started hiring his disciples to work in the vineyard at the third hour. It was in the third hour that they were hired. Okay, now he hired the disciples, and when the third hour was over, they continued working. And the fourth parabolic hour, and then those that followed the disciples continued working in the fifth parabolic hour. And then the reformers came on the scene, Martin Luther, and he went to work in the fifth parabolic hour in 1500 A.D. as a reformer, started the first reformer out of the Catholic Church. And then John Knox can come out, and he was called to work in the fifth parabolic hour with Martin Luther, 1543, John Knox, Presbyterian, and then in 1725, you had John Wesley, the Englishman, Methodist Church. He was called in 1725, still in the fifth hour, parabolic hour, and so he continues his work until 1810. Alexander Campbell then was a fourth reformer that came out, formed the Christian Church or the Baptist Church, and he opens up the sixth hour. The sixth parabolic hour opens with Alexander Campbell in 1810. And then William Miller was called to work in the sixth hour. He was called to work in the sixth hour with Alexander Campbell. And that's where Yahweh prepared him for his work, to work in the seventh, eighth, and ninth parabolic hour. So when it says that Yahweh went out about the sixth hour, well, was it the beginning or the end of the sixth hour? It was the beginning of each parabolic hour that is pointed out in Matthew 20. Early morning hour, the first hour. So it was the beginning of that hour when those people were called to work. It wasn't at the end of that hour. It was called at the beginning of that hour. So the beginning of the first hour began when Moses was instructed to start bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt at the midnight hour on the 15th day of the first month, which was Passover day. At midnight, they were thrust out of Egypt. That was the beginning of the first hour, parabolic hour. Alright. So, it says he went out about the third hour. Well, that was the beginning of the third hour, not the end of the third hour. Thou shalt begin at the parabolic beginning of the third hour, and he hard labors the disciples to work. And then he went out, it says the next interval was the sixth hour. As I showed you, sixth hour began in 1810. And William Miller was called in that sixth hour to prepare for his ministry. And when the sixth hour was over in 1833, William Miller was called to take up the leadership role. But he was called then at the end of the sixth hour to be a leader. All right, now, and then it says, then he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour. Well, William Miller had the seventh, eighth, and ninth hour to work. But when the ninth hour began, sometime between 1833 and 1844, Ellen G. White was called to prepare her work in the ninth hour. And so that was about 1840 when she joined William Miller. She's about 13 years old. Her parents and her, they joined William Miller and became Millerites in the ninth hour. The ninth hour was over in 1844. And Ellen G. White was called in to be the leader of the ninth hour, the movement at the end of the ninth hour. All right. Then it says, then he went out about the 11th hour. Okay, what's that? First hour, third hour, sixth hour, ninth hour, and the 11th hour. Well, the 11th hour began in 1970 with Verlis W. Johnson in charge. But Verlis Johnson was prepared for his work in the 10th parabolic hour with V.T. Hutto. During the 10th hour, he was prepared for his work to be the leader of at the, when the 11th hour began. Well, so Yahshua called me also at the beginning of the 11th hour. So when he went out about the 11th hour, it means that he went out at the beginning of the 11th hour in 1970 to haul laborers into his vineyard. Well, Yahshua stayed there on the scene during that whole 11th parabolic hour from 1970 clear up to 2003. And so at the end of the 11th hour, he come along and he says, "Now, why stand you here all the day idle, some of you?" He found some of them standing there idle. And that was, I was one of them. And so he says, "Now, he hired me, because he said, why are you standing here all the day idle?" "Well, no man has hired me." So he said, "Well, are you going also in the vineyard for service right I'll give you?" So Yahshua, and those five parabolic hours that he was made the householder of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. So it says here, Matthew 20 verse 1, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to haul laborers into his vineyard." So the vineyard is in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. The kingdom of heaven first comes down, and who brought the kingdom of heaven down? Yahshua came down in the cloud, and he hired Moses. And he went with Moses down to Egypt to deliver the children of Israel in the first parabolic hour. Yahshua came down and he brought the kingdom of heaven with him. Because the kingdom of heaven means that he taught Moses the sanctuary system. He said the kingdom of heaven here on earth begins, when it comes down, it begins at the Passover. So the kingdom of heaven comes down at the Passover time. Okay, that makes sense. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder. So Yahshua came. Right? Had he already been here, or what's going on? Well, he's in that traveling throne in that cloud, and it says so. And he got the children of Israel for 40 years from that cloud in the wilderness. He was with them, and he abode with them for 40 years. And he had the sanctuary system up there in that cloud, because the judgment was going on. And I know he had that sanctuary system in that cloud because he brought it down upon Sinai in the third month after it came out of Egypt of that year, the first year. Brought Moses up into the mountain upon Mount Sinai. And showed him the tabernacle. And he was to raise one up like the one he saw there in the mount. There in that cloud. And so Moses came down and he spent the next year building that tabernacle. And he raised it up in the second year. He received instruction to pattern in the first year at the Pentecost, third of the month of the year. Come down and raised up the tabernacle and had it ready to go by the next Passover of the second year in the wilderness. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder. So Yahshua is the householder, and he represents the kingdom of heaven. And he brings the kingdom of heaven with him, and that he sets up the governmental laws of the sanctuary with his leader, and so it constitutes the government of heaven, the sanctuary system restored here on earth, established here on earth. All right, and now in verse 2, And when he had agreed in Matthew 20, verse 2, agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, sent them into his vineyard. Okay, so his vineyard. So wherever Yahweh sets up his governmental system and the tabernacle, that's where the kingdom of heaven's headquarters are here on earth. Wherever his prophet is in charge of that tabernacle and temple service, that's where the kingdom of heaven's headquarters are at. Matthew 20, verse 3, and he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. So he went out about the third hour. So the beginning of the third hour is when he went out into the marketplace to hire laborers at the beginning of the third hour. So the beginning of the third hour then began when Yahshua was 30 years old, when he started his ministry, and he cleansed the temple first, and then he went out into the marketplace, and he found 11 disciples, and the 11 disciples found one more, Judas Iscariot, to join them, and so he ended up with 12 that were idle in the marketplace. And they worked the whole third parabolic hour with Yahshua, because on the day that Yahshua was hung on the cross, that brought the third hour to a close. Said he was hung on the cross at the third hour, even of the day, literally of the day. So, Yahshua came back to earth, he went to heaven, after the first hour of work with Moses and the children of Israel, he went back to heaven, he came back at the third hour, in the form of a babe born in a manger. And he lived in obscurity for 30 years, and finally he emerged on the scene as having fulfilled this prophecy of the one that was sent from heaven. So Yahshua comes back now, and here he comes. So this is the second coming of Yahshua. His first coming was with Moses coming out of Egypt. Second coming was at the cross. Then when he went out to hard labors in the sixth hour, that's his third coming. That was William Miller in 1833. So that's Yahshua's third coming. He came and hired William Miller. He's a householder. He came to this earth. This is where William Miller lived. He came to this earth. Right. And then when William Miller's time was up, he came at the ninth hour. And he hired Ellen G. White, and said he came to the most holy place. William Miller said he's coming with 10,000 of his angels. And he's coming to earth to purify the earth with fire and to burn it up and to take the waiting saints to heaven. So, William Miller prophesied of Yahshua's coming. 1833 to 1844, he said he's coming to this earth. Well, Enoch, in the sixth parabolic hour in the Old Testament, he prophesied of Yahshua's coming, and he was a direct parallel with William Miller. So William Miller indeed prophesied. He called it the second coming. I guess he called it second coming, but he just said it was the coming of Yahshua. But it was actually, according to the parabolic time clock, it was the third coming. Because he came at the sixth hour, and that was the third parabolic call, out of the third prophetic call for laborers in the vineyard. So he came in 1833, the third time. And he led William Miller, and William Miller prophesied that he would come in 1844. William Miller didn't know that Yahshua had already come and was leading him like he led Moses invisibly from that cloud. So Yahshua, because it says the sixth and the ninth hour are grouped together there in Matthew 20, verse 5. The two parabolic hours are grouped together. Because it says right there, and again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour. means that he was on the scene at the sixth hour, and he stayed on the scene until the ninth hour. So the third coming of Yahshua, he appeared, and Ellen G. White pinpointed his coming to the sanctuary and to the most holy place, come to the, on the Day of Atonement there. He came into the sanctuary. He didn't come to this earth visibly. He came to the sanctuary. And the sanctuary is in heaven. But Yahshua has a traveling throne, and he travels in it. Okay? So now it says, so he came in 1844. And between 1833 and 1844, that is his third coming to this earth. And then, according to Ezekiel 1 and so forth, Yahshua went back to heaven as between 1844 and 1970. Came and went back to heaven. He set Brother Johnson up with his governmental system in 1970 at the beginning of the 11th hour. Hired me to work with him at the beginning of the 11th hour. But I had been made idle by the time the 11th hour was drawing to a close, and so Yahshua came then again, and that's Yahshua's fourth coming. For he came at the 11th hour. So he came at 1970, at the beginning of the 11th hour, to set Brother Johnson up, like he did Moses, coming out of Egypt. So antitypically, the 11th hour time is representing the antitypical coming out of Egypt again, preparing to come out of Egypt. But they had 40 years in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. So likewise, when Brother Johnson had the antitype of coming out of Egypt in 1970, we had a 40-year period of wilderness wandering, and that would last until 2010. That was the fourth coming of Noah. That was the fourth coming. The third coming was the sixth and ninth hour coupled together. That was the third coming. The fourth coming was at the end of the 11th hour. 2002. Come to the threshold of the house. Okay, now, he came to the threshold of the house of Kermit, Texas, and he dealt with the leadership, and he made a change of the guard and set up the everlasting kingdom of David. Kingdom of heaven as we know of it now, today, and this is the everlasting kingdom of heaven. Now, those kingdoms that he set up before was called the kingdom of heaven. They were not titled Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven, even though they were the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven. They were just entitled Kingdom of Heaven. But the Everlasting Kingdom is set up with the Everlasting Kingdom of David. Whenever it's come time for David's kingdom to be fulfilled and to come back into prominence and fulfilling prophecy in the antitype of the last days, then it's called the Everlasting Covenant, the Everlasting Kingdom of David, the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven. And that appears in the 12th parabolic hour. So, the 11th hour set up the Everlasting Kingdom, laid down its roots and foundation. That was the fourth coming of Yahshua. And he came to head up the movement of the 11th hour in 1970. And when the 11th parabolic hour was drawing to a close, Yahshua was on the scene. But keep in mind now, actually, he came in 1970, set up Brother Johnson with the sanctuary system like he did Moses, and then he went back to heaven. Says so in Ezekiel chapter 1. He comes and he goes, and Ezekiel 9 says he reports the matter, and then he comes back again. After having received the kingdom. And then he comes back again, and he takes charge of the kingdom. He changed the guard and set up the new guard, and that was in 2002. from antitypical King Saul's kingdom to antitypical David's kingdom. So Matthew 20 verse 6, he said, in about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, whatsoever is left, that shall ye receive. Now, that's a strange thing. See, Verda Johnson and Ben Roden were called to join V.T. Hardiff in the 10th Parabolic Hour in 1946. They both was introduced to V.T. Hardiff on the same day. Ben Roden, being 15 years older than Verdus W. Johnson, he became the head elder under V.T. Hardiff. Verdus Johnson was second in that order. But that was the calling of Ben Roden and Verdus Johnson in the 10th Parabolic Hour. That was their call to work in the vineyard. And they took up their labors and worked in the vineyard. Then, when 1970 came along and the Shepherd Rod period was over with, you had Ben Roden working in the vineyard. But he succeeded V.T. Hardiff. He was working very actively in the vineyard. But he had isolated Verdus W. Johnson. He had separated himself from Verdus Johnson. They were no longer working together in the vineyard come 1970. They had separated in the mid-60s. So when the even was come, or the 10th hour to come to a close, and the 11th hour to begin 1970, Verdus Johnson was the one left standing idle. And I was a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I was definitely standing idle in the vineyard, in the marketplace, because the marketplace is the Adventist Church, is the Adventist Church proper. And I was definitely standing idle. So he hired Verdus Johnson. He said, okay. He said, now, you're standing idle in the marketplace here at the end of the 10th Parabolic Hour. But you're my man to go to work in the 11th hour. So he hired Verdus W. Johnson. And then he hired me to go and join Verdus Johnson and work with him, because I was standing idle also. Verdus was idle, I was idle. And then when the time started winding down for our labors in the 11th Parabolic Hour, which was winding down starting in 2002, Verdus Johnson had discharged me, just like Ben Roden had discharged Verdus W. Johnson. Ben Roden and Verdus Johnson were introduced. They were good friends and brothers, believing alike in the Adventist Church. And they were brought to V.T. Hardiff, and they both joined V.T. Hardiff on the same day. And Ben Roden and Verdus Johnson worked together as brothers in the vineyard with V.T. Hardiff. V.T. Hardiff died, and then Ben Roden took over the leadership of the two, him and Verdus. And then they had a parting of the ways on down the road. And so Ben Roden continued on to work and to be the leader of the Rod, and Verdus Johnson was sidelined and made idle. So Yahshua had to come then and hire Verdus W. Johnson. Okay. So now, let me show you something here about this coming of Yahshua. If Yahshua comes on the scene to hire these new laborers, then you're going to have to count that as his coming every time. He came at Sinai. He came and hired Moses at the burning bush. He met him at the burning bush. That was the first coming of Yahshua. He actually appeared to Moses at the burning bush in Mount Horeb. That's his first coming. The reason why Yahshua has a traveling throne is because he travels between heaven and earth. Well, Lucifer, for instance, when he was after he sinned in heaven, and he came down to this world, and he overthrew Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Right, according to Job, a record account, Lucifer traveled to earth and heaven every month, once a month. He traveled in his traveling throne. Lucifer did. On the new moons, he'd meet with all the other sons of the leaders of the other planets once a month in heaven. So Yahshua, whenever the sin came into this world, he had to take up his work in a traveling sanctuary. Ezekiel chapter 1 shall tell us about this traveling throne that Yahshua, the Son, has comes out of the north. He comes to and he travels to this earth and back to heaven, to and from, to and from, to and from. Okay. So, he came in 1970 and hired Verlus. He came in 2002 and hired me. He came in 1955 and hired Ben Roden. And, he came in 1930 and hired V.T. Harder. He came in 1844 and hired Ellen G. White. He came in 1833 and hired William Miller. He came in 1500 and hired Martin Luther. He came in 1543 and hired John Knox. He came in 1725 and hired John Wesley. He came in 1810 and hired Alexander Campbell, the fourth reformer. That's what his traveling sanctuary is for. He's a householder of the vineyard. Well, if he goes out and hires these people, he's got to go to where they're at. And if Yahshua is in his traveling throne and his home is basically in heaven, when it comes time to hire these new laborers, he has to get in his traveling throne and go to where they're at. Okay? So, this is not hard to understand. So, you can go by that example there. Say his first coming was with Moses. Second coming was at the cross. Third coming was... according to the parabolic time calls, the third coming was in 1833. His fourth coming was in 1844. And his fifth coming was in 2002, technically, according to the five parabolic calls of Matthew 20. There's five movements, and these are all five distinct movements, too. So Yahshua, he comes in the person of himself at these here prophetic movements. But now he can come in the spirit anytime, for that matter. Okay, so much on that. Let's go to Matthew 20 now, verse 7. Let's read verse 6 again. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here over the idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired it. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So technically, Verlus Johnson was the one that was actually hired at the beginning of the 11th hour. Even though I was hired to work alongside him, I was not an appointed leader. I had no distinction as a leader or as a laborer. I just had a distinction as someone that had joined as a member. Okay, now, I had the distinction, though, as a leader when Yahshua came in 2002 and changed the guard and appointed me as a new leader. Then that's when I could say that I was hired to be the head of the leadership, to be the leadership, to be the head. Okay, and so therefore, if I'm chosen to be the head, and I was standing idle, but I was chosen to be the leader, then it means that there's going to be others to join me. And there was others that joined Verlus whenever he was hired, to be the leader. So now it says here in Matthew 20, verse 8, so when even was come, the master of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Okay, so now when even was come, the master of the vineyard saith unto his steward. So who was this steward? Antitypical David. Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. So who is the first one then you call? You call the last ones that worked in the vineyard during the heat of the day, the first 11 parabolic hours. That's who the steward of the vineyard, because he's a steward now in the 12th parabolic hour, and he's given the command to call the laborers that had gone before, and start with the last ones that worked in the vineyard, and start with the 11th hour laborers, and so that would be the 11th hour, that would be the Brother W. Johnson and company. Okay. So the steward of the vineyard, which worked in the 11th hour also, Elijah David, but he has come to the judgment. Now he is the steward, and now he sits upon a throne, and now he is given authority to call the laborers and give them their hire. And it starts with Lotus W. Johnson. Okay, so Yahweh has shown me that this here calling of the laborers and giving them their hire means that you have to understand prophetically how to explain the sanctuary system and the judgment, how the judgment works. Alright, in Matthew 20, verse 9, and when they came that were hard about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Okay, so now look at this. When the 11th hour was over, that's when you get your pay at the end of the day, not at the beginning of the day. You get your pay at the end of the day. So when you've proven yourself, then you get your pay. If you worked in the vineyard all day, you get your pay. Brother Stunt worked in the vineyard all day and he got his pay. But what was Brother's pay? Since he didn't come to the judgment, he only got whatever he collected during that 11th hour while he was working in the vineyard. That was his pay. Okay. I didn't collect anything during the 11th hour that I was working with Brother W. Johnson. I worked for free. So, but when I come to the judgment, guess what? I was given that everlasting penny a day. Everlasting life. That's what that penny represents. When you come to the judgment, then the penny represents the everlasting life. But if you don't come to the judgment, then the penny only represents what you earned during that 11th hour that you work day by day. And that's just enough to pay your bill. But the penny a day is talking about here is the one that everybody received their penny. Whether they came to the judgment or not, they received their penny. In other words, they got paid for their labors, whether they came to the judgment or not. Those that came to the judgment was appointed the leadership then over those that didn't come to the judgment. That's another point to make. Those that didn't come to the judgment in 2002 of the 11th hour, Verda Johnson and company, then the one that came to the judgment was appointed as a leader over them. And then that steward that was appointed as a leader over them became their judge. Okay. And the Bible backs that up. He said, let him that is least esteemed among you, let him be your judge. Well, it proved that I was the least esteemed among them, and so therefore Yahshua made me their judge by pointing out the truth of the parable of Matthew 20, of the five groups of laborers and their relation into prophecy and the true interpretation of the parables. Alright, Matthew 20, verse 10. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house. Who is they? Those that worked in the 11th, that was in charge of the leadership of the 11th hour, that didn't come to the judgment to get their everlasting life penny. I wrote this this poem years ago down at Kermit, and I'm gonna read it to you now. I just one day, all of a sudden, this Yahweh gave this to me, and I just started saying it, and I had to sit down and write it down immediately. It says, "A Penny a Day" is the name of this poem. There was a time in ancient days when men would choose in various ways to serve their Yah and offer praise, much the same as it is today. And they often would declare, "My Yah is here, my Yah is there on mountain peaks and valleys, fair in heartfelt thanks and earnest prayer." But I do know from time on end, not one word could men suspend and hope to gain a lasting name or better yet eternal fame. That Yah be true, for men do lie, and oftentimes they do defy the powers that sent to energize and lift them up as parting skies, unroll like a scroll, and truth unfolds, and at last their Savior to behold. For the righteous knows and are content that time and energy is well spent when contemplating events to come, for they know the Father and the Son come as one. To do a work for humankind to save one's soul and change the mind from a carnal man into a spiritual being, for this change causes the heart to sing. They then reflect His perfect will as they climb those stairs up Zion's hill, and then declare that all is complete with Satan, what with Satan gone down unto defeat. For the universe is now free to carry on, what with Satan and sin all gone. We'll count our blessings and add the score. Our pay, a penny a day, eternal life forevermore. Now that's a message from heaven. That's all, they all come from heaven. So Heavenly Father is so gracious on this, but He has to perfect us from beginning to the end. In order, we have to allow Him to perfect us, and He will do this if we are willing to show us 100% what we are supposed to do on a day-to-day basis. Well, we're rocking along. We're getting pretty long to the end of our study here. Let's go ahead now, Matthew 20. It says, verse 11, "And when they had received a penny, every man a penny, received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." So all of those coming out of Egypt that didn't come through the judgment in their prophetic hours that they were called in, when they didn't come through the judgment and their names was taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life and put into the Book of Death, then that shows that they didn't get their penny a day for working hard in the vineyard. The ultimate pay was eternal life. Matthew 20:13. "But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" In other words, I come and made a deal with you. You said, "Okay, I'll work for that." And you went to work. You worked, spent your whole lifetime working in the vineyard with that guarantee that you would get eternal life when it's all over with. But you didn't come through the judgment. You didn't prove yourself to get rid of all your sins at the same time while you worked for me in the vineyard. You held on to your own pet sins. You wouldn't get rid of them. And so therefore, you end up with whatever you earn on a daily basis. That's all you're going to get out of this life. You serve the flesh. That's all you're going to get. The gift for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. So you don't get the gift. You get the wages for sin. And that's death. You don't get eternal life, and that's your penny a day. "Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee." They come murmuring and says, these last ones, they've been hanging around, loitering around all the time in the marketplace all this time. And they've been vexation to me and give me a bad time all this time. And you're going to give them and put them in charge of the kingdom and give them everlasting life? And they've been vexing me for this whole 11th hour? Lotus is saying. He said, this debt and drunk has been a thorn in my side for 32 years, he said. He said in his letter. He says, he's been a devil. Said the devil just sit him right in alongside me to work right alongside me for 32 years. But if Brother Johnson was a true servant of Yahweh, like Moses was, why would he allow a devil to come and work with him for 32 years if he was the number one man in charge? Why would he allow this? All right. Matthew 20, verse 15. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is I evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. And Yahshua, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She said unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on my right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. Yahshua answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. He says unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given unto them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Yahshua called them unto him and said, You know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't say a ransom for all, it said a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Yahshua passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Yahshua, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Yahshua, thou Son of David. And Yahshua stood still and called them and said, What will you that I shall do unto you? They said unto him, Master, that our eyes may be opened. So Yahshua had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. So now what happens when you get your spiritual eyesight open today? Then you follow Yahshua from then on. That's for us today. This brings the end of our study. This hour you can contact us at the 11th hour call on number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I Never Foretold by Elijah David. 1967 this song was written. By Elijah David. I never foretold what the future might hold in me. It looks mighty dim. When my Savior calls, to him I will go, for I want to follow him. Book from which I think the dust has covered me. But I never foretold what the future might hold.